Many of Jesus' parables are set in agrarian societies or have pastoral themes. There's a lot about sheep and shepherds and fig trees and things that we here in 21st century urban New England do not know much about. Which doesn't mean that these stories and teachings of Jesus can't be made to span the miles and centuries to speak to us here today, of course. But today's parable of the rich fool needs no translation. I once knew a parishioner who loved many people, but truly trusted no one, and in the end had faith only in herself. She kept her savings stashed in safe deposit boxes across the city, and steadfastly refused to ever write a will, even near the end of her earthly life, believing that such a document could lead to her money being taken from her. Now, there may have been good reasons for all this. She had not led an easy life. She had known loss and addiction and perhaps betrayal as well. And this woman was neither rich nor a fool, far from it. In many ways, she was very different from the rich man in today's parable, who took great joy and comfort in his many possessions. But they had one thing in common. They sought safety in the accumulation and protection of their material possessions. Again, I can understand why this parishioner did what she did. I'm even a bit sympathetic to the rich man in today's parable. After all, isn't he simply being prudent and planning for the future? The question in all this comes down to how we answer the following question. What do you want? If you want the salvation of your soul, then fixating on the preservation of your material wealth is not the best approach. It's not going to get you where you want to go. Today's parable makes that very clear when God says to the rich man, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" That idea is perhaps most familiar to us in the title of the 1936 Broadway play, "You Can't Take It With You." There's never been a truer statement than that. Even for those Egyptian pharaohs who like to be buried with all their worldly goods so they'd be rich in the afterlife. But even if we want happiness in this life, without thought for the future destination of our souls, the example set by the rich fool in today's gospel passage is not a good one. Now, that doesn't mean that he was foolish to store up his goods for a rainy day or a season of drought. In the book of Genesis, after all, that's just what the patriarch Joseph tells Pharaoh to do with Egypt's bumper harvest. He says, "Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and to take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food and all the good years of all the good years that are coming, and lay up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to befall the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine." So not only does that kind of saving for a rainy day seem wise to us, it appears to have biblical sanction as well. So what is it that the rich fool does wrong? Well, what do his family and friends say when he discusses his plans with them? They don't say anything, because the only person he consults is himself. And that seems to be the only person he cares about. His conversation is really a monologue when he says, "I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" He does not plan to use his wealth to care for anyone but himself. And that will leave him isolated in this life and unprepared for the next. He doesn't trust anyone enough to talk with them about his hopes and fears and plans, let alone share what he has with them. Now, the parishioner I mentioned earlier did not have a merrier or more relaxed soul, to use the terms from this morning's parable, because she had squirreled away cash in safety deposit boxes and refused to tell anyone where they were. And I don't think she was happier because she refused to admit to herself that she would have to leave what she had gained to others Again, she may have had good reason to have so much distrust, but the regret in her case is not that she saved money for the future, but that she thought it would save her. It was not going to make her immortal. And her ability to share what she had with those she loved, even if it was after she departed this life, was lost to her. So what is the right answer? Should the rich fool in this morning's parable have said, "I'm not going to live forever. Let me feast now with my friends and family while I can"? Not necessarily, though I think there are worse answers than that. He still could have built up his savings while being thankful to God, thankful that God had so blessed him, and shared a portion of what he had in the present while making provision for those who would come after him. It's not intrinsically bad to build up your savings for the future, but we should always keep in mind that all we have comes from God, who wants us to be generous with what we have. That will bring us riches that we can't store up in any grain silo, or bank account, or safety deposit box, but are of much greater value, both in this life and the next.